Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For me personally, I think that's where Oasis peaked at that point. Do you know what I mean? I think that was the, not that it's a better song than Supersonic or anything like that, but I think the scale of the band, the size of the song itself, you know, they're just not giving a fuck of just calling it, do you know what I mean? I think that's where we peaked. And I felt that when I was doing the remix, I was like in the studio listening to it thinking, it never really got any more vital than this. You know, obviously you're too close to things, but I can imagine you hearing that on the radio being 15 and thinking, fuck hell.
All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. I hope you guys are okay. Today we're going to be discussing in great detail, Do You Know What I Mean? Oasis, massive number one hit from 1997, but you know all that. I'm going to be speaking to my good friend Joel, who you've heard from on here before in a bit. And we're going to go deep into the song, what it all means, the structure of it, the lyrics, all that kind of stuff. And we're also going to be hearing from you guys. We've had a couple of audio messages in, which is always great to hear from you guys, which is fantastic. We will just pick up on a little bit of news first. First thing to say is on the Liam has been on the promotional round for his recent Unplugged MTV album. He did Peter Crouch, Save Our Summer, which was like a TV show. So let's have a little bit of that.
I mean, we're meant to be getting married as well next month, but that's been put back till next year.
What kind of wedding are we planning? You going to town or are you having a quiet one?
It's abroad in Italy. Yeah, big one.
How come Italy? What made you decide?
I don't know, man.
It's pretty.
Like it, Lake Como and that, so it's gonna be big, man.
We looked at that for our wedding.
Italy?
Lake Como, It just didn't work for us, you know, like a big family and like a lot of older sort of grandparents, I thought, trying to get them over there and stuff, you know.
Where did you end up getting married?
Leicester.
Okay. Tropical.
What festivals are you supposed to be doing? Are you supposed to be doing any festivals this summer? Because I'm supposed to be missing them.
Might be doing Eaton Park, I think.
Yeah.
Might be doing something in Glasgow.
Is this off this coming
this
up?
This was like, yeah, coming up, but we've cancelled quite a bit. I'm going to do something in America, but that ain't happening.
Yeah.
Got two more in Japan that we've got to make a decision about, but because they think it's going ahead, but I don't know how they expect me to get there. Walk, I ain't fucking walking.
He also did radio interviews with surprise, surprise, Radio X and Absolute. One thing he did do that was different though, there was like a competition where you could do a Zoom call with Liam and Bonad, which was fantastic. Well done. Actually, that's a little bit different, and well done to those lucky people that won the opportunity to do a Zoom call with Liam and Bonad. I was making a point online, and just to let you know, I did sort of throw my hat into the ring. I contacted both Debbie and Warner Brothers for this sort of recent round of promotion to request an interview, but got no response, as always. So, you know, I'm just not going to bother asking anymore, to be honest. It is a bit of a shame. I think it would be great if he did the podcast because, you know, we do ask interesting questions, and I think it would actually be a really good thing for him and for the fan community. But yeah, it just looks like there's going to be the same old stuff. Although, yeah, this Zoom call. Cool. Good idea. Well done. Anyway, in other news, I'm starting a new podcast, 1001 Albums You Must Hear Before You Die. It is based on that book, and it's going to be having sort of short, sharp episodes going through albums that are featured on that list. So if you go and follow me at 1001 Albums Pod, and they will be coming out shortly. I'm going to stick, I think, the first couple at least on the main Oasis Pod channel. And then if people get a bit annoyed about them being there, then I might set up a separate channel for them. But we'll see. We'll see what we think. And don't worry, it's not going to affect the Oasis podcast at all. In fact, it should give me more opportunity to talk to people, and also opportunity to go back to people that I've spoken to before. That we've kind of done the Oasis chat. Is there really much more to talk about in their world combined with Oasis? Well, let's talk about some other music they love. And yeah, you maybe get to hear from more interesting stories from people you've heard from before. Plus also listeners, there's 1001 to get through, so I'm not being like overly picky. If you have something really exciting to say about one of these albums, then get in touch and we can do an episode, no problem at all. One other quick potential bit of news. On the Noel Gallagher, Matt Morgan podcast, Noel was talking about Nebworth, and he said, like, oh, because I was watching the footage for something. And then sort of it's brushed away, and they just carry on whatever silly chat they were having. Why was he watching footage of Nebworth? Are we finally going to get the Nebworth release? Let's hope so. So there's no other real news, I don't think. So after this brief musical interlude, it will be me and Joel talking about Do You Know What I Mean?
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, Joel, can you remember the first time you heard Do You Know What I Mean?
I can. I was sitting at the kitchen table of a mutual friend from school on the day of the sixth form ball in the summer of the golden summer of 1997, when Radio 1 played the track. And I remember caning that and the B-sides, which also came out that day, which we rushed to get a tape in there. Machine to Capture as well, and thinking it was possibly the greatest piece of music ever recorded by anyone ever. It was certainly the most ambitious Oasis recording at the time in terms of all the backward singing, and the production was just immense. I still think it might be today, even at the end of the recording career, obviously. I remember it vividly. I mean, the only other thing, my memory is thinking it was brilliant, loving the brooding darkness of it and the ambition with all the sound effects that were sitting in it, and then thinking, I'm pretty sure he's just playing Wonderwall over the top. That's a bit weird.
So you spotted the Wonderwall thing, even back then?
I did. But it's obviously, presumably you listen to it now with the benefit of hindsight, and you can just hear the... But it's literally the fact with Do You Know What I Mean that you could play the Wonderwall intro, drop the Liam vocal from Do You Know What I Mean, we wouldn't even need to change the key. He's playing the same chords in the same key, in the same way. You know, if someone else had done it, if that had been a song by, I don't know, Northern Uproar, you'd be like, well, hang on a second, that's got to be copyright, surely.
So there was also Travis writing to Reach You as well, around the same time, that had the same chords.
It's not exactly the same.
Well, no, it's the same chords, it's the Wonderwall chords, right?
No. No, because Forever Reach You has only got the first three chords, hasn't it? It doesn't go on to the fourth chord, so it's... It doesn't go to that fourth chord. I mean, it's clearly referencing Wonderwall because he sings about it in the lyric. It's a good tune, actually, right?
Every day I wake up and it's Sunday.
Through, but the opening section, so the verse before we get into the you know, my makeup, it is just the Wonderwall chords. In fact, I'm sure you can find, I've seen it, Hayes might even have done one, like a splice of Do You Know What I Mean and Wonderwall.
Yeah, and there's quite a famous one that then also uses Boulevard of Broken Dreams by Green Day as well.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known.
But yeah, for me, when I first heard it, I remember exactly where I was. I was in my bedroom at home at my folks' house, and it was one of those where it was like, and next we will be playing an Oasis song. And I think it leaked, and so they played it, but it was like a surprise. It wasn't a plan. It was like, what? So yeah, the same thing with you. It's like scrabble around to get a tape to quickly record it. But I remember like stomping around my bedroom, and I actually remember specifically being like, whoa, like, okay, this intro just sounds so huge and epic and amazing, and then Liam's vocal is so incredible, and all the way through, like that stompy darkness, like, you know, as it goes through, you're like, this is really, really good. And it reminded me of kind of like I can't even place what it would have been now, but like I was thinking like Stone Roses in the sort of the stomp of it, but it's a bit sort of darker than like the Stone Roses. But I know the big thing for
other
me,
than I want to be adored, yes.
Yeah, I suppose so. But I think the big thing for me was that I Met My Maker and Made Him Cry section. I thought was like, well, that's the chorus. It's like, oh, this amazing chorus where it's like I Met My Maker and Made Him Cry, and it's so good and all these guitars sound effects. And then you get this Listen at My Date and Then You're Born. And then All My People Right Here and you think, it's got like two choruses. This is the best song I've ever heard.
Yeah, I have to say, I find that chorus a little bit of an anti-climax. If I think, of, you know, listening to it now, I mean, I love the song and I love it for its significance to me, because it was the first big Oasis release when I was a mad fan.
Yeah.
As having sort of, you know, I really got into the band when Morning Glory came out. So it was the first, you know, I was actively anticipating the release of that song for every day from the Don't Look Back in Anger single onwards. And but the chorus, I don't think he's one of his better ones. I think he's written far better choruses, partly because everything that comes before it is so utterly brilliant.
Yeah.
Then the chorus, and the chorus is just the it's got the same melody that he uses in Slide Away repurposed. So you can sing Two of a Kind Will Find a Way to the same tune as All My People Right Here Right Now. As opposed to
I've never noticed that before in my life.
Now that's all mine, we'll find a way. I'll sing
a song. All my people right here, right now. Do you know what I mean?
But, and it's also, and the other thing about it, because when, on the original, because it's all so massive and dark, it's like, can I hear strings in a massively dirty rock song? I'm not sure I can. It must just be some electric guitar, like, wailing away in the background. And then the 2016 re-hit the Nola, it's like, they put strings on it. How mental is that?
Well, I don't know. On the episode I did with, I think it was the episode with Romesh Dodongoda, the producer, he said that he'd heard, I don't know whether this was from an Owen Morris interview or something, but that what Owen did is he recorded the whole string section, but then when they put it onto the record, they played it through like a shitty little guitar amp. So that's why it sounds like that on the record. And then Yeah, and then when they get to the rethink, it's like, oh wow, like there is this whole orchestra on it.
Well, and the bit where it sort of drops into the I Met My Maker bit is the same refrain on the strings, pretty much note for note, that you get at the start of the Master Plan, you know.
Yeah.
That's right at the start of the Master Plan. It's also there in, you know, so pretty much the end of the last album. One of the string refrains is borrowed for the first track on the next one.
I mean, it was always there, and I know what you mean, because it wasn't when I heard the 2016 rethink, it wasn't like, wow, I've never heard that string melody before, but it was just, it was so punchy and separated out, you know, whereas it was just always in the mud of this, just this epic sound. But yeah, I personally don't like the 2016. I like the I don't like the strings being that separated. I like everything just being in that just that big muddy
absolutely. The massiveness of it is part of what makes it, and that is more present in the 97. It's a very good song, but the score that I would give it relative to Oasis' other songs would be higher than it deserves on its own merits, because of its timing for me in terms of being a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I think that I completely agree that it's the chorus is a bit of a letdown. One of the things that I was talking about, I just appeared on a Manic Street Preachers podcast, which I might be dropping a bit of into this episode, actually, but we'll see. And one of the things that Mike, who you met when we went down to Cardiff to see Noel, It was the guy that we met there, and he...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he set up his Manix podcast. Good
yeah,
night.
He's doing the Manix podcast, Manix Street Speakers, and I'm on episode 2, so check it out. Yeah, so finally, I think we might have been talking about that on the day, actually. Like, come on,
you
then.
You did.
Did we? Okay. It's like, yeah, I might do a Manix podcast. I'm like, well, do it then. You know, don't talk about it, do it. So well done, 2.5 years later. Yeah, so talking to him about it, he was like, one of the negative things about the Manix that he's noticed is the fact that they will often, in the chorus, just sing the title of the song over and over again. You know, like a very good example being like, "You Stole the Sun from My Heart." He just, "A Design for Life." You know, they just sing it over and over again. It's like, okay, could you have come up with some different lyrics for the chorus? And that is, I mean, the chorus, I get what you mean. Like, with having everything that's built up to it, and then that chorus is just the All My People Right Now, do you know what I mean? Repeated, isn't it? And that's literally it. Which I still think is cool, but I know exactly what you mean. Like the melody on, you know, the I Met My Maker sort of section, or on the verse section, is just far more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think in fairness, I don't know how you would pay off the chorus into the bridge. I don't know what you would have to write to pay that off properly as a chorus, because the rest of it is so completely epic.
I met my maker, I made him cry, and on my shoulder he asked me why. His people won't fly through the storm. I said, listen up man, they don't even know you're born. All my people right here, right now, do you know what I mean?
So it comes out 7th of July 1997, as we said, the first track from Be Here Now, B-side Stay Young, Angel Child Demo and Heroes. It's recorded from November 96 through to sort of April 97 at various points. 7 minutes 42 on the album and 7 minutes 22 on the single, which is ridiculous. I mean,
it's not even the longest song on the album. It is what's also remarkable is that it could be that long without it being that long being remarkable in the context of the rest of the album. So I think all around the world are starting playing it when I bought the album, it's still not finished.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think All Around the World is like, it's 9 minutes, but it's sort of, it's almost like a joke that, you know, they've deliberately built this just crazy, ridiculously long song. Whereas, you know what I mean, it's like a minute and a half shorter than it, and yet it is just an epic beast of a rock song, isn't it? It's just like a, it's not like it's a joke that it's so long, which I almost think All Around the World is like, they've deliberately gone, right, we're writing a 9 minute epic. Like, whereas this is just an ordinary rock song. It's not like it's the whole point of it is that it's long with all the key changes and stuff. This is just so drawn out. But I suppose you've got that big section at the start before anything really kicks off. And I remember the other point I was going to make from when I first listened to it, or it might have been in like subsequent listens that day, is when you think the song's going to end about 4 or 5 minutes in, then it goes into that massive epic guitar solo. And you're like...
Yeah, it just before the guitar solo, it all breaks down, and it sounds like Mr. Soft is playing the piano.
Go on.
More soft mints. Well, no, he's just going... And then the guitar solo. But just the sound of the piano... is like if you imagine the Treble Soft Mints advert with Mr. Soft like bobbing through like the blue world and bumping into stuff. If he was playing the piano, that's what it would sound like.
What have you been drinking, Joe?
I've had a drink for a while, actually. Laying off the booze in lockdown.
Mr. Soft, won't you tell me why the world in which you're living is so strange? Oh, Mr. Soft, how come everything around you is so soft and rearranged?
Bite through the shell of a Tribor Spearmint Soft Mint, and everything turns chewy and soft. They're crispy on the outside, chewy on the inside.
The other thing I would say about the sound of the recording, I think the drums on Do You Know What I Mean, the drum sound, Do You Know What I Mean, might be the best drum sound that Oasis ever got.
Do you think so?
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. It's just, obviously everything is enormous, but it sounds like he's hitting about 50 snare drums every time he plays.
In the UK, it sold 162,000 copies. Its first day of release, 370,000 copies by the end of the week. It's Oasis' second biggest selling single in the UK, with sales of 745,000, achieving platinum status in the process. So the let's just talk about the packaging. So we've got the cover photo is very, very cool. It's a Microdot original. Brian Cannon in front of has got the guys in front of a staircase in Wigan. And everyone's looking the other way, and they're looking that way, which I just think is very interesting. And it's one of those ones that people can like go and find those steps and have their photo taken there, which is good. And I remember like it was a the actual CD itself, the cover, it was cardboard, wasn't it? It wasn't like a plastic case like the previous ones had been. Right. The music video, directed by Dom and Nick, is set in sort of post-apocalyptic. And they're playing, and there's helicopters flying around, and there's people charging around with flares and stuff. And I just thought it was amazing. I just thought it was incredible. Noel's playing a flying V.
Yeah, which is, you know, never seen before or since. Like Noel Gallagher playing a proper rock, fingers in the air, guitar.
Yeah.
Doesn't suit him.
It does. It does. And do you know where that flying V is now?
Is it in Texas with Brian Garcia?
Yeah, of course. yes. So, yeah. I loved it. I loved that video. I just thought, as an encapsulation of what the song is all about, it had to be that. Although it's quite interesting that the fact it's helicopters, is it helicopters on the record? And there's helicopters on the thing, but I don't know if it's like a sample of helicopters on the record. You've got a sample of aeroplanes on Morning Glory, but I don't know if it's
some. Yeah, I think there is, isn't there? I thought there was, but I mean, I might be conflating it with seeing the video.
Yeah.
But again, helicopter noises, atonal, fine to have at the start of a song. Sirens, not fine, unless you work them into the tune.
Let's have a look at the lyrics, shall we? Because that's an interesting point about the lyrics. I'm going to Google them, even though I know them off the top of my head, so I don't quite know why I'm Googling them.
The opening line, step off the train all alone at dawn, back into the hole where I was born, the sun in the sky never raised an eye to me, is a brilliant autobiographical line about going home to Manchester.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of going back to Manchester stuff, like in Follow Me Down to Capital City in the Sun. So there's like going to and from Manchester, isn't there? But yeah, into the hole where I was born. It's quite rude. I saw a YouTube video of people, a sort of a newscast of, they went back to Burnage and were playing the song to people in the pub. and they were like, hole where I was born. they weren't too happy about it.
At the lads' local pub, they weren't too impressed with a new single.
The hole where we came from, you know, the hole that they're on about, it's like referring to Burnies where we live. I mean, they are Burnies lads at the end of the day.
But musically, they think Oasis have done Burbage proud, especially the song Stand By Me.
I thought it was brilliant.
He's got the voice for it. He has.
So have the boys turned their backs on Burnage. They've become idols to millions, sold countless records, and are friends with the Prime Minister.
Liam recently said that Oasis are bigger than God. That may be open to contention. But as he suns it up in Saint-Tropez and the people of Burnage shelter from the rain, he must be glad he doesn't have to be here now. Paul Cattell, Burnage, 5 News.
You lucky man, Paul.
And then we get into... So that's brilliant. And then Noel's like, oh, done. Wrote some good lyrics. Now let's just get some song titles. The Blood and the Tracks, Bob Dylan. They Must Be Mine. Fool on the Hill and I Feel Fine. Well done.
That is terrible. It doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even scan as a sentence.
Fool on the Hill and I Feel Fine. That is bad. That is a real like, oh, come on. I mean, it's cool now because it's sort of, it's part of history, but, you know, it was lazy. And I do remember reviews of the album saying there's some very kind of very obvious Beatles references, probably more so than they'd ever done before. And that is probably the
almost playing to it. It was almost like it's gone beyond homage and onto pastiche.
Yeah. No, I agree. Don't look back because you know what you might see. Look into the wall of My Mind's Eye. So My Mind's Eye is the Small Faces song.
In my mind's eye. Pretty sure that's how Steve Marriott sings it.
Yeah, exactly. The greatest soul voice, the greatest white soul voice this country's ever produced, and that's not you. I think I know, but I don't know why.
That is shite.
Look into the wall of my mind's eye. I think I know, but I don't know why. The questions are the answers you might need. Now that is deep. It's like that wannabe is, deep,
that,
isn't it?
That could be on Blue Moon Rising, couldn't it?
Yeah. The questions are the answers you might need. I like this. Coming in mess, going out in style. Coming in a mess, going out in style. I ain't good looking, but I'm someone's child. No one can give me the air that's mine to breathe.
I like the first half of that. I think the second half is a bit mystical.
No one can give me the air that's mine to breathe. But the thing is, Jill, this was basically like the template for all the lyrics you wrote for our band, basically, wasn't it? It's like,
yeah, but I was a 17-year-old and didn't know any better. I mean, to be fair, we've discussed diverse lyrics to this song, and there's some genuinely good lyrics. Abstract from the fact that it's in a brilliant piece of music.
Yeah.
There's some genuinely good lyrics and some utter doggerel sitting side by side.
Yeah.
I'm saying, it's not that he's a uniformly lazy, bad lyricist. He's capable of absolutely brilliant, quite touching sentiment in a really sort of down-to-earth kitchen sink way, which I know you approve of as well.
Yeah.
And then he sort of, but it's when he descends into platitudes or sort of goes for some mysticism, you're like, oh, no.
Yeah. It's someone the other day, I sort of, I think it was after I'd done the Do You Want to Be a Spaceman A to Z, and I was thinking, is this the best Noel lyric? And I was like, okay, well, for me, it's probably top four off the top of my head were like, Do You Want to Be a Spaceman, Rocking Chair, Gas Panic, and what was the other one I picked? Oh, Let's All Make Believe. Those were the ones that really jumped just straight off the top of my head, probably because I've talked about them the most. But someone replied on Twitter. I mentioned that on Twitter. And someone replied like, oh, no, it's Little by Little. That's amazing. And I'm like, no, see, that to me is the exactly what I don't like when he does. You know, true perfection has to be imperfect. I know that sounds foolish, but it's true. You know, it's like, no, like, don't try and be epic. You know, when you try and be epic, you just fall a bit flat on your face, I think.
Cigarettes and alcohol, the lyrics are brilliant.
Yes, they are. Yeah, and similar with Bring It On Down as well. Bring It On Down, Cigarettes and Alcohol, I kind of put together as that, like, angry, like, you know, social comment, but it's sort of, you know, not like up the workers, but, you know, it's sort of, yeah, it's got something to say.
Well, is it worth the aggravation to find yourself a job when there's nothing worth living for? We stand up against most one-liners from most lyricists trying to write social comment.
So we get in the bridge, we get, I met my maker, I made him cry, which is blasphemous and brilliant. And on my shoulder, he asked me why. What? His people won't fly through the storm. I said, listen up, man, they don't even know you're born.
It sort of starts off quite well, tails off a bit in the middle, and then the less said about the end, the better. But it works really nicely with that melody.
Yeah.
And Liam's delivery of it.
Yeah, his people won't fly through. When he says, I say, listen up, man, they don't even know you're born. That is brilliant, because he really gets to, like, you know, pelt it out, doesn't he?
He spits it out, and then all that backwards, in the second, before the second chorus, all the backwards vocals come over the top, and there's like a double length. The gap from the end of the bridge to the chorus is doubled, I think, in this before the second verse, to allow all that backward stuff to come over the top, which is great.
Yeah, no, I love it. And then there is a second verse, which they've bestowed a second verse upon us, when often he just repeats the first verse again, which is, I don't really care for what you believe, so open up your fist or you won't receive the thoughts and the words of every man you'll meet, or every man you'll need. Get up off the floor and believe in life. No one's ever going to ever ask you twice. Get on the bus and bring it on home to me. Yes, bollocks, isn't it?
It's Bring It On Home, song title.
Yeah, that's Bring It On Home to me. It's like Animals, isn't it?
Oh, right.
I think it's The Animals. Well, it'll be an original blues, but Bring It On Home to me, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now I know I've only hurt myself.
It was breathtaking. It was breathtaking. Hearing it the first time was breathtaking. And I think the fact that it's so long meant that you really got to know the song on the first listen.
I get it, yeah, because you hear every bit over and over again. So, I get it. Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. So many songs, like, you listen to it and then it's instantly forgettable. You know, whereas, like, we're saying that the chorus isn't the best chorus, it's not that complex or whatever, but it's catchy as hell. You'll never forget that, you know, like it sticks in your head, doesn't it?
You
know, so it's pretty, so for that reason, I suppose, like, if you're analyzing it note for note, it's not great, but for the fact that, you know, it is so memorable, yeah, absolutely, it does the job.
I'm not after complexity, to be clear. I'm just after something that feels like it's stepped up a notch from the bridge. But I'm also happy to say I don't know that I would. I don't have an alternative that I could proffer.
There you go. There's your challenge for you. Go off and write a better chorus for Do You Know What I Mean?
Yeah, I think I'll leave that one. But you think, like, something like the Acquiesce chorus is amazing. Desperately, desperately simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to be complex. It just has to be... just has to feel like it's stepped up a notch from where the bridge took you. You know, I mean, that's a pretty standard thing to do, songwriting. Your chorus is your payoff. You build up, and then the chorus is your payoff.
But it's almost like, yeah, like you said, how can you even pay off that, a bridge that good? You know, and especially the way it ends with that, listen, that man, you don't even know you're born, and then all the noise. And then, yeah, where'd you go from that? But I like... like we talked about the fact, and it's great that it's one of the songs that is that you do have Liam isolated vocals on, which I've dropped in loads of times in other episodes, but I will be dropping it again here because why the hell not?
I met my maker, I made him cry. And on my shoulder he asked me why. As people won't fly through the storm, I said, hey, listen up, man, they don't even know you're born. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
So you've got this Liam's voice, I don't think has ever sounded better. And also I really love the Noel harmony over the chorus as well. Just the two voices, like, they just complement each other so perfectly. And there is a nice harmony as well going on that relatively simple melody, but... you know, I think I really like what Noel's doing over the background.
I think vocals a bit like Noel's vocal in On Be Here Now is the album, not the track. I think is a little bit loud in the mix. And the Oasis sage that is Robert Brown, who was opined on this podcast in the past, said of the album Be Here Now, if you got rid of Girl in the Dirty Shirt and you turned Noel's backing vocal down, it would be their best album.
Wow. I've never really clocked Noel's vocal being super loud, actually. But, yeah, I suppose it is more prominent throughout it, isn't it? I'm just thinking about Girl with a Dirty Shirt, actually. Knows exactly what she's worth to me. Now I see. Yeah, he is really loud in that, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's the cocaine. He's pushing himself forward as well at that point as, like, the cult of Noel. Right, let's just talk about live. So it's been played live by Oasis 97 times. Basically first played in June 1997 in Oakland, California. They did a couple of shows there.
This next one's our new single. Yeah! Everyone said we'd never make. Scott's Army. Well, certainly bloody things. Surprisingly enough, it's fucking tight.
And Liam gets the words wrong, which is quite entertaining. Whether or not he got him wrong or they were just written that way at that time, I don't know. Probably he got them wrong. And then, and then one more in July. Radio DJ in Milan, apparently. It was a song by Noel. He covered. He did. You Know What I Mean? And he did Setting Sun for the first time.
You said your body was young, but your mind was very old.
coming on stronger, not like the wind. The visions we have are fading away. You're part of a life I've never had. You know, I'll tell you, man, it's just too bad.
Yeah, basically, they play it 97 times total. They play it all through the Be Here Now tour, which ended Palacio de los Deportes, Mexico City, March 25th, 1998. Then they play it February 29th, 2000, Yokohama Arena, Tokyo. And then they play it again in May 23rd, 2002, Tokyo. And then so they did it basically throughout that first set of shows in 2002 on the Healing Chemistry Tour, including up to like playing in Stockholm. Then they play it in Belfast, Hull Arena, Finsbury Park, they play it, and the Telly West Arena Newcastle shows in 2002, and then it's dropped and never played again. But all the tracks on your first night, you won't be here and I feel fine. Don't look back, cause you know what you might see. And I always thought it was a tricky one for live. It's not one that sticks out. I think that live, it struggled a little bit. And similar to when Liam played it, because obviously Liam's played it quite a bit as well. He's played it 38 times. Yeah, and I've always thought it was a tough one to recreate live, just because there's so much going on the recording with all the backwards vocals and backwards sound effects and stuff. It's hard to replicate live. So I it's not one that sticks out as being, oh, it's an amazing live track. You know what I mean?
No. I never saw it played live, but there's that G-Max gig from 97 that everyone's seen.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing it on that and being pretty underwhelmed by it. I was as underwhelmed, but you know what I mean, as I was loving Fading Out.
Fading Out at G-Max, yeah, that is great at G-Max. Do you think it was the right choice to be the first single? Do you think it was the right placing on the album? I remember like talking about our friend Robert as well, that he'd said like he thought it was right for it to be first track on the album. So it's like, okay, there's the first single, and now here's the album. Like that was what he thought of it, I remember at the time.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, and I think as a comeback track, if I was picking from those, that album, that would be the one I picked. I think the problem with it was, from an expectation perspective, is you heard that and you're like, oh my goodness, they're going to go all like techno and it's going to be like wacky and out there because they've got all this backwards stuff on the first track they released. And then obviously it was more of the same, and if anything, a bit more trad than some of what they'd done previously. So I think it perhaps set an expectation that the album then didn't live up to.
Right, got you.
But that's not a reason not to use it as the opening single. I mean, it was great. It was, you know, it was the perfect comeback. It was like all the swagger. You know, it's like all the swagger from the last album, but it's even louder and even more in your face, and there's even more of it.
Yeah. And screw you, radio. You have to play our 7-minute, 22-second long single.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think that Stay Young would have made a better comeback single? Because that's what a lot of people were saying at the time, like, wow, that Stay Young's actually the better song.
No, because it's a brilliant song, Stay Young, but it's probably a bit light, isn't it, L-I-T-E, to be a single, to be a statement comeback track.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, the arrogance of the band to hear that, record that and be like, stick it on the B-side, stick it on the B-side, stick it on the album. You know, it was part of the comeback EP, wasn't it? You know, the other two songs, that weren't particularly good, but Stay Young, you know what I mean, very exciting when we heard it first.
Yeah. I loved Angel Child, actually. I thought the cover of Heroes was completely pointless, but yeah, Angel Child I've always had a soft spot for.
I mean, it's a good song. It just isn't, you know. And I'm judging it only against the Wonderwall single or the Don't Look Back in Anger single.
Yeah, No, you're right. You're right. When you put it like that, I'm... yeah, that is quite a lot to live up to.
Cool.
Good. All right. Well, that's it. Any closing thoughts on Do You Know What I Mean?
Do we give it a score? Do you give these things a score? Do you just leave it to the punters?
No, well, we do the old... Oh, yeah, hold on. Let's see what the Twitter score was for it. That's what we do, isn't it? Well, go on. What would you give it then out of 17?
I give it 14 out of 17.
Good.
I think it would be a 4 out of 5 for me.
Okay.
Not a 5 out of 5.
Well, here we go. 5 out of 5 got 51%. 4 out of 5 got 36%. 3 out of 5 got 11%. And 2 got 2%. Who would say 2 out of 5? Do you know what I mean? Seriously. I think that's just people doing the wind-up, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a 4 out of 5, but it's a solid 4 out of 5. It's like a 4.3 out of 5.
Right.
But, as I said, it's very long, and the chorus doesn't quite pay off all of the build-up that comes before it.
Cool. All right.
And I would reserve 5 for a select few songs. It wouldn't be like, oh, I love Oasis, 5, 5, 5, 5. I would be giving them out sparingly, so there wouldn't be any 5s on BNL.
What about Don't Go Away? Don't Go Away's a 5.
I hate the Don't Go Away mid lane.
You and Me, What's Going On?
Yeah,
that's the best.
And the little guitar bit that comes in. Just like, now, the song is brilliant. The chorus is incredible. I love the brooding verse, and you know that's a great example of like brooding verse. Like the chorus sort of drops, the bridge drops down and builds up, and then the chorus is this massive payoff of "Feel the Pain" by the Real People.
Yes, definitely. Cool. All right. Well, I've got all the Twitter comments here, but I'll just do that separately. I don't, because you'll just be sitting there like. Yeah, okay.
So, brilliant. What do you think, Joel? I've already given my view.
Yeah, cool. All right, mate. Well, thank you very much for your time. Greatly appreciated, as ever.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Nice to chat away with you, James, as ever.
And speak soon.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
All right, great to catch up with Joel. Thank you very much. Brilliant insights from him, I think, especially that point about now that you're mine, we'll find a way. All my people right here, right now. Like, that's crazy. And the from Masterplan being exactly the same as and do you know what I mean? That's just ridiculous. His Mr. Soft thing, though. I don't know what he's on about there. Not having that. Anyway, right, let's get on to what you guys had to say about it. That's the key thing, isn't it? So Richard Bowes said, it's the beast of the pack, and it was the most exciting thing to happen to a generation. The Harvey Boys, Be Here Now will always be closest to my heart. Still remember that day, and this song takes me right back there then. As with all the songs on here, technically a bit repetitive and long, but boy, it does not matter. Have it. The voice, attitude, sound, top notch. Kenny Boy Neil says, remember sitting in the car when Radio 1 played it for the first time? Then they played it again. Brilliant. Best song on Be Here Now for me. Tom Moen says, easily a 5. Goes on for about 2 hours, but still brilliant. Liam on point with vocals. Drumming is excellent. And Gwig's bass in the remaster ain't half bad too. Great first single from the album and still sounds good today. Danny O'Hanlon, a dramatic intro to kind of a dull song. The remix is an improvement, but you can't mix away disappointment. Stay Young should have been the single. Wow, a dissenting voice. Soul Driver, good song, but not as good as it was to have the Oasis Circus back in our lives. Andrew Middleton, a great song which stands the test of time. I remember being super excited for the release, and what a B-side. Liam looks great in the video, not sure in the rest of them though. At My Finest Hour says, excitement beyond endurance. More associated with the situation surrounding it rather than the song itself, which was fine. Its B-side did provide the call-off signs to one of my fave podcasts, so... one of your fave podcasts. Come on, mate. We Are DNA says, the song and video is what made me an Oasis fan. Classic lines, sun in the sky never raised an eye to me. I ain't good looking, but I'm someone's child. No one give me the air that's mine to breathe. I don't really care for what you believe, so open up your fist or you won't receive the thought and the words of every man you'll meet. And of course that bridge, basically recounting meeting God and telling him Oasis are bigger than you, get lost. It's a call to arms, it's defiance, it's arrogance, it's confidence, just a glorious track that is worthy of its length. No doubt about it, 10 out of 10 or 5 out of 5 here. Well, that's about 3 or 4 different tweets there from We Are DNA, thank you very much. Send us an audio message next time. Jacopo Lagomarsino, the man with the best name on the Oasis podcast, says, thoughts on Liam changing the lyrics here. I am good looking and I'm someone's child. Yes, and he's done a link to a version that Liam did in New York where he sings that. So let's have a listen to that. I'm coming in a mess, going out in style. I am good looking and I'm so washed out. Get on the bus and bring it all back to me. I'm a maker. Yeah, cool. I just think Liam gets bored, like, singing the same thing over and over again and mixes it up every now and then. It's not like with some artists where they completely, like, rewrite things. But, yeah, he'll just change the little bits here and there. Like on the MTV Unplugged when he sings Bod Only Knows because, you know, Paul Gallagher's brother is known as Bod and he was in the audience and stuff like that. So stuff like that happens. But, yeah, it's cool. Ian Davis says, one of my all-time faves, this mate. I remember it so well, coming on Top of the Pops one night after school. Immense. The helicopter, the drums, bang, it's a belter. And Matt Fortet says, I always thought it was an aeroplane on the record. A helicopter is mentioned on most Oasis podcast conversations about it. Yeah, is it a plane or a helicopter? Don't know. I think it sounds a bit like a helicopter, but who knows. Brianna Westervelt said, is it really about their dad, as stated in a Quietus article, or was that really reaching? I don't know. I asked on Twitter about this earlier. What do we think? Is it about his dad? Is it about God? A bit of both, or just absolute bollocks? And I think, God is generally what people think. There's quite a few songs around this time talking about having a conversation with God. So, yeah, don't know. Could be. Bit of both. M4Tet says, in my top five Oasis songs, no doubt. Attitude, Swagger, Flying V, it's got the lot. Supernova Terraceware says, absolute stomper of a tune. This was Oasis at their absolute peak. The anticipation of this song as a 16-year-old after What's the Story was unbelievable. This paired with the video was just the coolest thing. Shades on, jacket zipped up. The B-sides were pretty good too. Neil, at Neil Hogg, 1980, totally agree there. I was 17 and the weight and height was unmatched. Then came the video. It was like, yes, they're back. Saw the jacket in a shop once and saw the price tag. It promptly got out back. Still stands up as a good song too, and yes, that B-side. Dennis Zylstra says, I still get goosebumps when Alan's drums kick in after 40 seconds. Musically, one of the best Oasis songs ever, in my opinion. So much going on. And Gerhard Erasmus said, yes, forgot about those drums. Epic. Smitty, 3x3, said, love the bass and strings on the NG remaster. Amazing. Ali Stewart says, never forget the goosebumps listening to the first play when those helicopters kicked in. Reminds me of crazy but exciting times. Mark Nolden says, ridiculous, over the top, utter brilliance. A song that defines a snapshot in time, doesn't sound dated now, in my top five Oasis tunes of all time. Magical nonsense. Harris at Craven43H2 says, pure Oasis, literally making a song about what 90% of their sentences end in. Love it. That's a good point. I didn't say that. Yeah, the fact that they say, do you know what I mean, all the time. Yeah, it's quite funny that, I suppose. And Gerhard Erasmus also said, Oasis fans come from many different musical walks of life. I'm a Queen fan, so I never had a problem with massive productions such as this and also being here now. Freaking love this song. Live versions such as G-Mex were brutal. Yeah, let's have a bit of G-Mex, shall we? Because we mentioned that before and didn't play it. So, yeah, here's G-Mex. Khan might say, says, love the lyrics, love the audacity to use the same chords and key as Wonderwall, but the fact that it sounds so different to Wonderwall is a testament to Noel's melodic prowess. Also love the guitar solo and blatant rip-off of Andy's guitar riff in Step Into My World. I haven't noticed that before. Let's check that out, shall we? Trevor Duncanson said, mega, the start of my favourite Oasis album. Dave underscore Scholes says, 4 for me. I think I nearly pissed myself with excitement on the build-up to the release of this single. So many layers to the song. I really like how they just threw everything at it. The cost per song must have been unreal on this album. Paul Lane says, absolute banger, although for me was so overproduced it never really was a great live song. Still remember listening to it for the first time on Radio 1. Happy days. RW, who is at Wolfie8557, says, absolute stonker. It's proper smack you in the face. Thanks for holding the mantle, but we'll take it from here. Philly Mass says, I listened to this song this year, and it's the only song I've listened to in a long time that has made me genuinely excited. I could feel a surge of adrenaline when that backwards breakdown led to the drum fill, led to that guitar solo. I was there then, and it's still massive. I'll tell you what, talking about backwards, actually... let's just reverse it, because people have I've seen people ask this question, like, what is Liam saying there when it's like, yeah, no, it's right and I got people up. That was my best backwards singing, but anyway, you know what I mean. And it is basically the chorus reversed. So all they've done is they've recorded the singing, they've reversed it, and then they've shoved it in the song. So yeah, let's have a bit of that. Mark, who is at Dr. Mark 37, says the NG Rethink from 2016 was my most played song on Spotify for 2 years in a row. Stephen Wilson, it's the perfect example of how you can take the same chord formation, played a little different, and create a totally different song and sound. Faye the YY says, the opening track to what I like to call a cocaine-fueled masterpiece. That track for me contradicts another classic from the same year. For me, the drugs do work. Jay Faye the YY also says, it was probably the last single and album I awaited to hear, to wait for radio play to do so, before the internet ruined that feeling. I almost forgot. For all my above points, it's a 5. The last great Oasis single for me. This was the peak. The world changed and so did music around this point. JPF1888 says, Fading Out is a very underrated track. Stand By Me, Don't Go Away, Be Here Now and All Around the World, all cracking tunes. Do you know what I mean? Even though chord-wise is basically a reworked Wonderwall, it sounded great and stood up to the hype. Cracking album. Strangio, David Strang 11 says, great song, but maybe not the right choice as lead single off the album. Noel's shorter reworked version is much better than the original, in my honest opinion. 4. Lee the Bee said, what's the distorted bit Liam sings before the guitar solo and the bit at the end? And that's where I explained, it's him singing the chorus backwards. At Oat Milk says, I think it's a song that sums up exactly where Oasis were at the time, on top of the world. Its lyrics ooze confidence and swagger. This, paired with the wall of sound created by the vast number of guitar tracks, creates the ultimate Oasis sound that engulfs you while listening. It's a song of excess and indulgence, a song that only the biggest band in the world would dare put out. Jared Wallace says, it's a good song. In the history of the band, along with Nebworth, I think it marks the apex of their rise as a relevant music force. I remember on the day it was released, Sky One did a programme, including a busker, comparing what he got from playing this versus Wonderwall. Gary Ilston says, remember the time I heard this? It had been a while since anything had been released and it came on the radio. I had goosebumps. It was an energy pumping through my veins that only Oasis have been able to achieve. Absolutely. Pat Moulton, this for me is just pure Oasis in your face attitude. Love it. Shane, who is at Lamotta79, remember being disappointed on first listen with play and pause buttons at the ready. Subsequent listens from my TDK tape did little to impress, but it stands the test of time. I preferred Stay Young at the time, but now appreciate the superiority of Do You Know What I Mean? And Ian Trebleco said, loved this song when it came out, and still do now. It was like a big bang to announce their return. Whilst the sky-high expectations for the album were never likely to be met, although it does still stand up well, this single was a strong way to kick off. Dan Best said, I ain't good looking, but I'm someone's child. Love it, one of Noel's best. I did prefer the 2016 tweak, the shortened version with the strings and the HD-looking video. Personal opinion that the band never seemed to play the song well live. 3 out of 5 for me. Grandpa Batman says, having it played at my funeral turned up to 10. Cool, I'll be there. Neil Sharp says, brings back amazing memories of them being the biggest band in the world. Clearly remember Radio 1 playing the song on the hour every hour when it first came out. The ONG rethink a couple of years ago is my preferred version, as you can hear the strings and bass. Very rare to be here now. Neil Hogg 1980 says, the only single I've ever queued to buy, the only single I've held my breath for, the only single I phoned home to make sure it was taped off the radio, the only single I've learnt the words to before it's released, the only single... Well, you get the idea. Cheers, Neil. Edward Loftus says, iconic Be Here Now moment. Tom Mason says, I think it defines the Chasing the Sun trilogy. All my people right here, right now, do you know what I mean? Says it all. And Andy Adams will finish there. When I first heard it, I thought with all the electronic noises and backwards guitar, etc., they were going in a different direction to the previous albums, but it didn't quite work out like that. So there we go. So let's have a listen to what you guys have had to say about it. Let us hear from Brendan in Australia.
Hi, James. My name's Brendan Gaspari. I'm an independent musician from Perth in Western Australia. And I've been meaning to drop an audio message for a long while now. I absolutely love your podcast and have been listening for a couple of years now and caught up on every episode, and just love the detail and passion that you put in. It's just incredible. Thank you so much for all the time and effort that you put in. Yeah, as I say, I've been meaning to get in touch and just drop an audio message. And with the recent A to Z being Do You Know What I Mean, I thought it would be a good opportunity to just make the time. Back in 97, 98, Be Here Now was the first album that me and my brother bought. He was a couple of years older than me, and we went halves in buying it. We got Be Here Now in, probably late 97. And by the time 98 came round, we lived in a little town called Albany, right in the bottom left-hand corner of Western Australia. And, tours and bands coming to Perth, we didn't really know about it, so we had no idea that they were coming. And plus, I think, back then I was like 10 or 11. We just were into this band, and 5 to 6 at night somewhere in February 98, Dad just yelled through the walls. He said, hey, boys, that band that you guys are into, they've just terrorised passengers on a plane coming into Perth. It's going to be on the news next. And I remember we were playing music or whatever we were doing and just ran in because we were just so excited by this new band. And, we've all seen the video of them coming into Perth in 98 for their tour of Australia, and that was just so massive for us, just such a massive impact to get the album and then for them to tour and all that went on that tour. When we got the Be Here Now album, I remember distinctly putting it on, and for whatever reason our CD player at the time just did this random thing. Well, actually thinking of it now, it was probably on a random setting. So it didn't start from the start, and it just started at track number 5. And being like 10 or 11, just hearing I Hope I Think I Know, just like it was loud. I remember like the stereo was loud. And it just blew my mind, like, to hear that kind of music, you know, whatever we were listening to at the time. I can't really remember, but, oh, man, far out. And then from there, kind of, like, went back and started from the start. But, yeah, so I Hope I Think I Know has got a very special place. One of my favourite moments in Be Here Now. I know there's a lot of guitars and all of that, but the guitar line that comes after Kicking Up a Storm, that little bit after there in them sections in the chorus, that guitar line to me was just fucking awesome and just so cool. Looking at it now, yeah, it's basic, but man, back when I was 10 or 11, it was just awesome. So maybe when I comes up in your A to Z series, I can contribute something to, I hope, I think I know, a breakdown of the guitar chords or something like that. So yeah, much like yourself, James, there's no Be Here Now hate from me. I absolutely loved the album back in the day and still love it now, for what it is and for what it meant. I can't actually remember when we got the Do You Know What I Mean single, but I have very vivid memories of hearing Stay Young for the first time. I know it's one of your favourite, and that chorus and lyrically and melodically, that is, like, for me, that whole thing of, you know, if you had one song to show someone to get them into Oasis, that would be the song I'd choose. It's just so good. And I know the whole B-side thing with Oasis and how good the B-sides were and all that has been done to death, but that to me, like, that is the song. That is like that could just be like the defining Oasis song lyrically. And that chorus, it's so catchy and so good. I've seen Oasis a couple of times for the Heathen Chemistry and Don't Believe the Truth tour. I've seen Noel a few times and Liam last December. As well as doing my solo project and releasing my own albums, I play in an Oasis tribute band. We're called Mad Ferret. Yeah, it's so cool to play them songs and the pubs and the venues that will have us here. The B-sides, the album tracks, there's certainly still a big following, even in little old Perth in Western Australia. And I also play the part of Paul McCartney in a Beatles tribute. We do a lot of cruise ships and other functions and events and all that. I've probably rambled on enough. I know you like audio messages, but I think this is sort of outstaying my welcome. Thanks so much, James. No offense if you chop this to bits and play like 5 seconds of it, but that's my sort of Oasis story, and I'll keep listening to your podcast, and yeah, good luck with everything, man. Thank you so much, and have a good one. Cheers. Just a sec, something needs to be said. I wake up and dread the day.
Cheers, Brendan. Absolutely brilliant. And I didn't chop any of that out. That was all. That was everything that Brendan sent over. Fantastic. Great stuff. It's just amazing to me to think that, you know, the same point 17-year-old me is listening to that tune. 11-year-old Brendan over in Australia, in Perth, was listening to it or whatever. It's just mad. And so if you need an Oasis tribute or a Beatles tribute in Perth in Australia, you know where to look. And that was a snippet of one of Brendan's tunes, and you can check the link in the description where you can find out where you can hear more of his stuff. All right, who we got next? This is Luke from South Korea by way of Ireland. Over to Luke.
Hi, James. Hope you're doing well. First of all, fair play for getting on that popular quiz show recently. And don't worry about not winning the money. There's no point in chasing yesterday. I can see the tumbleweed now. So, moving on from that terrible joke, I will crack on with my review of Do You Know What I Mean? It's one of the best Oasis songs, in my opinion, and I think the whole Be Here Now album was criminally underrated. I'll always remember the first time I heard it. I was about 7 years old, and I walked into my dad's shop. He told me to wait a minute, and he went into the back room to put his stereo on. Next thing, I just hear all of these loud helicopters, and then Liam's vocals kick in. It just blew my mind. I'll always be grateful to my dad for memories like that. The music video for Do You Know What I Mean was amazing. It had helicopters, flares, tambourines. What more could you want? I remember when Noel narrated the old videos, he said, "Those helicopters cost a fucking fortune." I'm sure they did. This video is my favourite Liam look. That haircut, the shades and the parka, it's iconic. Absolutely peak Liam. The song just gives off such an energy. Look up attitude and swagger in a dictionary and it should link to this video. The lyrics are top drawer as well. Coming in a mess, going out in style. I ain't good looking, but I'm someone's child. No one can give me the air that's mine to breed. Noel was on fire when he penned this. And also their Top of the Pops performance of it was pretty legendary too. At the end, the crowd just come up on stage with them. Noel even gives them a hand. They released the remastered version of Do You Know What I Mean in 2016, as I'm sure everyone's aware. But as Liam said at the time, how can you remaster something that has already been mastered? Cheers for having me on. All the best.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks, Luke. Much appreciated. Hope things are all right over there in South Korea, where you've got a government that knows how to deal with viruses and stuff. But anyway, we don't do politics on this podcast, do we? All right, who's next? I think this is Mark Evans.
So when the Be Here Now album came out, I was going into my last year of secondary school, and back then I would use my stereo as an alarm clock. So I'd have the time set and the volume to come on quite loud, and the function, whatever you want to come on. So I'd usually left it on radio, but being as I'd been listening to Be Here Now the night before, I'd just left it on CD. And come the morning, and the first thing I'm greeted with when the alarm goes off is the overwhelming noise of helicopters. So I jump up in a bit of a panic, thinking there's something going on outside. And then thankfully the guitars kick in and the song carries on, and everything sort of comes down, heart rate comes down, breathing goes back to normal. So thankfully it wasn't the RF outside my window. It was just the opening track to the latest Oasis album. So do you know what I mean? It's got a place in my memory, possibly not for the right reason, but it's got a place there all the same. So, yeah, that's my memorable experience of the song. Keep up the good work.
Cheers, Mark. Appreciate that, mate. Yeah, I can imagine that would be a shock, hearing those helicopters kicking in at a decent volume early in the morning. It reminds me, I think I've probably told the story on the podcast before, but a mate of mine borrowed the Nevermind CD on the day that Kurt Cobain had died. He never heard it before. And he put it on and went to sleep. And then, I don't know if you... No, but at the end of Nevermind, there's like a hidden track. I think it's called Endless Nameless, I think. And it's basically like Kurt like rah, 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 screaming. And he was woken up by this and was terrified by the sound of Kurt screaming, thinking that the ghost of Kurt Cobain had entered his stereo. Another weird one with hidden tracks. We don't have that anymore. That's something we miss now with hidden tracks and secret tracks. At the end of the Verve Urban Hymns album, there's like a really weird sort of creepy, I can't even remember how it goes now, but yeah, I remember that sort of come on, having put on that album to go to sleep, and that's woken me up, freaked me out a couple of times. Anyway, right, we've got another one, let's check. Okay, yes, so this is not about Do You Know What I Mean anymore. This is now a message we had from James Young on Oasis Bootlegs.
Hi, James here for the Oasis podcast. Could get this in a better quality on the old, I've got a proper microphone, but my laptop's downstairs and I can't really be asked to get it, so stuck with this phone that I'm using. But I'm going to talk about Oasis Bootlegs, following on from the episode the other week, about my favourite ones. Probably going to say the Rockin' Rio one from, I think it's 2000, I think, that's probably the best quality one. There's a good Cardiff one as well, but the Rockin' Rio one, it's got a really good version of Gas Panic on there. Baby, at the end there's like a lead with a guitar solo, and I think there's a cover of My Hey Hey by Neil Young, which is a nice inclusion. But the kind of Supernova one's decent as well. It's got all the sort of bits in between. There's, I think Noel says something about Newcastle losing the night before at the Motor Point Arena, which was actually where my first Liam Gallagher concert was. It's not actually a very good gig venue, but seemed right for that one. But there's a few other ones as well. There's a good acoustic one done in Toronto that has a lot of heckling and good responses and that sort of thing from the acoustic tour with, again, I think it was the Stop the Clocks one around 2006. That's a good one. But I had to listen to bootlegs because I only had like 200 megabytes of data on my phone. I didn't have Spotify Premium or anything, so I wasn't very, you know, tech savvy to get all the albums illegally. So I used to get bootlegs off the old a blog called The Right Ear of Nash, and they're all like mega downloads that I could download because I had an Android phone, so I could just download them straight to my phone. So yeah, I used to do that instead, which was good. So you get a bit of a different perspective on it. Some live performances always sound a bit more real. So yeah, they're probably my favourite ones. Obviously you've got Main Road, you've got some of the earlier gigs as well, like the Manchester Academy one that's on the remastered version of Definitely Maybe, and obviously Nebworth and all the other quite big ones. But obviously the MTV Unplugged one as well, that's quite a famous one. But interesting, obviously the only proper bootleg that was officially released was the Familiar to Millions one, which is probably one of the worst gigs they ever did. Anyway, that's my short review of the Ice.
Cheers, James. Thank you very much. Yeah, some brilliant Oasis bootlegs, like we did the episode with Ben the other day. Yeah, whether it's acoustic-y things that, you know, done on tour or in radio stations that we got on CDs over the years, or things that have turned up on YouTube. I mean, like, you know, just even in this episode here, it's like, you know, Red on that, you know, Red going through the list. Okay, the first ever, do you know what I mean, was at Oakland. And then quick YouTube search, and there it is. You know, it's amazing. Like, the internet has just been incredible. I know it's an obvious thing to say, but, you know, for someone that looks to try and get this, you know, rare versions and things like this to play on the episodes, it is absolutely amazing. And if your first port of call should always just be YouTube, like, there's everything is there. So, anyway, yeah, great work, James. Thank you.
Hello James, this is Cameron from a band called Brush Bullets. Got Liam's MTV Unplugged on vinyl here, and reading the credit notes on the inside sleeve, I noticed the Oasis tracks are written by Noel Thomas Gallagher. Maybe it's a little jab, as no one else's middle names have been included. I know there's more important issues out there in the world, but I thought it's worth mentioning for the Oasis fans out there. Hope you're keeping well. Bye.
Very interesting. Do you notice that? Noel Thomas Gallagher. Why would you do that? Why would you have, you know, you don't need to do that. You could just say brackets Gallagher would be fine. And then that might even make it look like it was Liam anyway. Or, you know, N Gallagher. Or maybe Noel Gallagher. But why Noel Thomas? That's, I think it might be a dig. You know, I think it might be, you know, like when a parent tells off the kid, Noel Thomas Gallagher, come right here. Maybe it's something like that. Just really pointing out. Yeah, I know you wrote them, Noel Thomas Gallagher. But anyway, yeah. But have you guys all had your vinyls? Those of you that buy vinyls, I don't. I never bother really, to be honest. And I obviously don't get any free ones. So there you go. All right. I think that will about do it. If you do want to send in an audio message, then just please do so. It's easy. You just, if you've got a phone, you just talk into it, hit record on audio memos or voice memos, something like that. And then just send it over as an email attachment to oasispod@gmail.com. And if it's interesting, I'll play it. So all good. Right. That will do it for today. Thank you very much for listening to the Oasis podcast. And most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it is greatly, greatly appreciated. Oh, one of the things someone said to me the other day, actually, is that they really wanted to support the show, but they couldn't do Patreon in their country or their where they are, like the exchange rate is just awful for because Patreon is in dollars. So for us in the UK, like, it ends up being, if you do if you do like $1, there's a bit of tax on it as well, so it comes out about £1, I think. Whereas, yeah, if that's a complete pain in other countries and you do want to support me, then you can. I've got a PayPal, oasispod@gmail.com. If you want to just send me money, that's absolutely fine. So, yeah, all good. But the big thing, though, is if you can just share the podcast, if you tell people about it, whether that's in real life or on like Facebook groups or just your mates, tag them on Twitter and Instagram and those sort of things. Do make sure you're following me, Oasis Pod on Instagram, Oasis Podcast on Twitter and Facebook. Emails, as I said, oasispod@gmail.com. And if you're an iTunes type person, if you can go and do a review over on iTunes, that would be greatly appreciated. All right, we've got some cool episodes coming up. I've recorded the fantasy band draft with a few Patreon supporters, which was really, really good fun. Also, the new podcast, the 1001 Albums Pod, will be coming very soon. And yeah, I think the first couple of those might drop on this channel while I'm getting the new channel set up for that. So yeah, plenty of cool stuff to come very soon. Don't worry about that. Right, as ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young. Cause we now just have the hour. Come on, make me
isolate yourself.